Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me for yet another adventure, I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Paminsula Harun Altahan.
Sasha Rackett.
Zolf Smith.
Indeed, and we were running into a little bit of legal trouble recently.
I got arrested.
Wow.
We're going to be fighting the law, and we're going to be winning. drinking beer in the hot sun... aside.
See, I've watched every episode of Ally McBeal. I'm pretty sure I know all this, guys.
See, I figured I'd throw you a problem that you can't stab, and I feel like it's still going to end in stabbing.
Yeah.
That's going to be the problem.
I've never stabbed anything.
So, as a recap...
I haven't for a full 10 minutes.
So, as a quick recap, obviously, after Kew Gardens and finding out about Svalbard, you basically got yourselves on trains and headed to Dover. Whilst there, you ran into a huge storm and found out that everyone's really annoyed at the Cult of Poseidon because they haven't been, apparently, averting enough storms, which is a bit ungrateful, if you ask me. Anyway, as a result, there was a riot, which Bertie managed to single-handedly shut down by being the loudest.
Oh, stop.
Again.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. You're too grateful, if anything.
Which led to you being invited to the officers' quarters by Commander Barnes. An interesting guy with the adamantine sword, but unfortunately, it sort of came to light that, you know, Zolf sort of needs to be arrested a little bit.
Well, he's a bit of a stickler for whole military service.
But... what are you going to do? So, with that in mind...
guy is in the military. Them and their... them and their rules.
With their chain of command and due process.
Shut up about it. Awful.
And literally the last thing that was happening was the group were walking with Zolf, presumably towards some kind of lockup or something similar.
I thought it was a party.
We'll find out.
Prison-themed party.
There were lots of men with, you know, truncheons
just
and...
spend the next 2 weeks thinking I'm in, like, a deeply immersed kind of party
experience. It does sound like Bertie's idea of a party.
Is Zolf a LARPer? I feel like Zolf might be a LARPer.
I don't think you need to be a LARPer.
You actually... no, you
can actually just... do the things that LARPers pretend
no,
to do.
No, but he'd LARP as like an accountant.
Yeah, you just look really boring.
I was about to say, I reckon we should have like a side quest where all four of the characters LARP, not LARP, roleplay as us. So, you know, Sir Bertrand McGuffingham can be an unemployed left-wing comedian.
oh my God.
I don't think he'll be able to get into that character.
Just don't understand.
So... picking up where we left off, you are currently being walked through the upstairs corridors of the academy, being led onwards, presumably towards some kind of lockup.
Wait, Hammond, do you think I should set fire to something as a distraction?
No, it's going to be fine.
Like, I could we're set fire,
sort
those curtains
the,
look
we're
going to
sort this
flammable.
Out in the courtroom next week.
Are
it's
you
fine,
sure?
We're just going to have to wait here a week.
Full
it's not a big deal.
Go.
No, we don't need to start any fires, we don't need to do anything violent, we're just going to hang out in Dover for a week.
They wouldn't even notice
I'll
that,
I'll buy
just stab
you lots more seafood.
I'm right here, you know. Just saying, I'm right here.
I cast message.
yes,
and
okay.
Face and facepalm.
Do carry on.
No, we definitely don't need to do
anything. Fine.
So, down the stairs through the academy, it's actually low-key, it's not like there's loads of people around all interested in it. You're led straight out. Gerald, the butler, offers Sasha a last little sort of doggy bag of food. And if anyone left any coats or anything hanging
thanks.
Up.
Thanks. Like, look, they're like eels, but like in the sea. And they're not even translucent.
He
they're
just
so cool.
He whispers to Sasha, Barnes isn't necessarily a bad officer, but I suspect you might have to just wait the week.
Is the kitchen going to be serving, Joe?
I could hook you up.
That would be excellent. Well, good.
The front door's open. You're let out across the drive. It is still stormy. The rain is still coming down. Looking around, actually, everyone give me perception checks.
Oh, natural 20.
Wow, that's a first.
For a total of 19.
Yeah.
I rolled a 19 for a total of 26.
11.
I rolled a 17, so 25.
It's good across the board. It's clear that, yes, it's been raining for a long time, and it seems to be starting to sort of overwhelm the infrastructure of Dover. Every drain that you see, flooded pavements. There are huge puddles to the point where, as you're starting to get walked along the street, you're having to take big, huge digressions to avoid huge flooded out parts. The fact that it's the coast,
I don't want to be wading up to my waist in a puddle.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's clear that if this keeps going, it's going to go from this is bad for trade to we need to start moving people out from Dover. It's not flooding, but it's well on its way, and it's readily apparent to all of you as you're walking along. But yeah, you are being marched through the horrible weather and are just being marched apparently straight back towards
the middle. I really miss the desert.
I really miss the roof.
Yeah?
Yeah. We never really had rain down in Upper London. Sometimes the lower floors would flood, but you never got rained on from the top, you know?
I can imagine, yes. That's how being under a roof works.
So, you eventually end up back in the centre of Dover. You've gone past the part where the riot was, sort of the dock front. You notice that there are still a few guards there. A couple of Poseidon guys are representing, but there's nothing happening.
There's throwing gang signs, you know.
There's no more...
The trident, they call it.
There's no more dockside waves.
I did a hand symbol with that trident, guys, who were listening.
Do they throw it and then just go, wet side?
Yeah!
I did a gag!
So... that one pained me.
Good.
You are led back up towards the main street. You head past the Soggy Admiral. And then all that. The soggy lieutenant.
And
the soggy cabin boy who's still there. Do you want some prawns?
We missed out the soggy able seaman.
Oh, well, yeah, you know. There's also the soggy boatswain, but no one's really there.
The soggy deputy boatswain. Yeah. Soggy under deputy boatswain.
It is a thriving high street.
There's also a lot of soggy clerical support just in their back soggy, office functions.
Soggy man who just kind of stands around. Just
yeah.
There,
you know.
Nonetheless,
soggy 8th master, soggy 16th master. It's this infinite regress, like a Matryoshka doll made of increasingly downbeat restaurants.
Are they just smaller and smaller and smaller?
Yeah, yeah, eventually. Yeah, they just disappear.
There's just a single prawn.
We'll say you head off.
It's like a seafood hole in the wall.
We'll say that you are heading off what I will now canonically name Soggy Avenue. Off to one side, and you appear to be heading towards a, for the sake of speed, an old-timey police station. It's small, it has a jail with a GA attached, holding cells.
It's not old-timey, it's just English.
Mm. It's old-timey English. Nonetheless, it's not like a huge dungeon
the
or anything.
Old, yeah.
But nonetheless, its primary defences seem to be big, thick walls, having some people on the front desk and bars on the window.
You missed out big, thick walls and then big, thick people.
And you are led up the steps, and in front of you, without consulting you, Barnes effectively has a conversation with the desk sergeant, you know, handing you over, blah, 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 blah. You know, I present you all of the habeas corpus stuff. I present you a receipt, blah, blah, blah. They do all of the administration, and then the commander turns to you as his officers start walking out, and the police officers, just one jailer and a police officer, step forward. Well, I regret to have to do this, Zolf. I do hope that it's expedited as quickly as possible, and I hope that all of you are eager to stay in touch. Do feel free to contact me about anything, and you're welcome should you need anywhere to stay at the academy for both
I'm not sure
and
that would
board.
Be appropriate, Commander. I think perhaps we'll secure a hotel room, but thank you.
That's fair enough. Well, nonetheless, you know how to contact me, and I wish you best of luck, Zolf. And he just starts heading out the door.
Good. Zolf remains silent.
So you are led to the first door leading to the holding cells. One of the policemen turns and goes, I'm sorry, but the rest of you just have to wait outside. I can't let everybody in.
That's all right. Be fine.
We will, of course, need to conference with Mr. Smith about his legal defence.
That's fine.
Is there a room we can do that in? And what are the visiting hours?
If you actually wait 1 hour, there will be visiting hours. We effectively just have to do a basic search to one like that. And then there is a room where you can have your legal counsel. Should I assume that you are the legal counsel?
We are his legal team.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
That is correct.
Wow. Right, we're well legal.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is in keeping with the tone of everything that's been established about Dover so far, is that it is surprisingly East End stroke East Coast in its...
I assume...
You're very represented as an individual, then.
Yes, I assume that I'm not going to be able to take this gesticulating with the trident in the cells.
No,
I need to keep hold of it on religious grounds, but I'm assuming that...
I'm afraid. You're allowed to keep your pendant, Dobby, but the tribe will have to leave in the lockup.
We'll go and sort out our hotel rooms, Alf, and we'll see you in about an hour.
All right. Also, Sasha, look after that. Hand you the trident.
Oh, my gosh!
Don't use it for anything not, you know, just... Don't.
Given that you don't have exotic weapon proficiency, I wouldn't use it for anything at all.
No, I don't even use it to kind of as a walking stick. I just kind of hug it. It's so shiny.
So the jailer and the standard guardsman lead you through the first door. There is a table. You're required to basically, they take an inventory of all the things that you have.
I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do the stuff. I
That's
will not
fine.
Be a problem.
Skipping ahead, you're allowed to keep your clothing on that isn't armour, and you're allowed to keep your holy pendant job.
So I'm in my underpants then, am I?
They may provide you some coveralls.
Orange jumpsuit.
Yep.
Sure. And you are...
Because it's a ye olde jail, so it should have little arrows on it.
Oh, yeah. They give me a ball and chain that I have to carry around. A little stripy hat.
And it's got wife written on it. Hey! Hey! Oh, it's a ye olde time jail. Oh! Well, go on, take her. My mother-in-law, she's in the other cell. Go on.
Wait, is this a jail or a music hall?
the experience is much the same, I think.
Armdwar's well known for their successful use of the flail and morning star, however. I'm not sure giving you a ball and chain is a wise idea.
What I would say is that they don't seem to be that dim, given that they insist on you removing for a brief search your false leg, your peg leg.
Okay, fair enough.
Obviously, there's nothing particularly exciting going on, but, you know, they lead you down. There's only four cells there. Two of them are empty. One of them has someone who appears to be sleeping something off, and you are just locked in the end cell. The jailer presents you with a fairly warm meal. It's still early morning, so it's a breakfast. You've already had some.
Christmas Eve in the drunk tank.
A little bit. But yeah, they give you some basic victuals.
Cool.
And then head off, leave you to it.
I will sit down and be in jail.
For what I would say, though, is the jailer's very kind with it. He's like, is there anything that you need? You just yell. I'm just at the end of the door. I'm sure this is nothing. And your friend, you've got lots of legal counsel. That's good. That's good. Good for you.
Thank you. If I ever need to leave a review, I will be sure to give you 5 stars.
Instead, there is no Yelp website. People just go outside and Yelp.
Five! Meanwhile, we will cut across to everyone else. So
I go to the poshest hotel in Dover.
I follow him to the poshest hotel in Dover.
I hug the trident. Stumble after them in the drizzly rain.
You manage to find one made in a French style called La Rochelle, and it has verandas, the whole work. It looks like a bit of a very upmarket, but nonetheless, it's cashing in on people are heading to France and to Europe, and they want to be the first port of call for people on that journey. It's very upmarket, and from what you can tell, there are actually, you know, French servants, French waiters, French receptionists, and so on.
I go up to the reception desk and speak in French.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for the best suite they have available for the next week.
It raises an eyebrow, but nonetheless, they proceed to do the paperwork. They do ask for a deposit up front of some, like, 10 gold.
Sure.
Yeah, shocking.
I'm going to pay up front. How much is it for the full week?
For the full
70
week...
70 gold?
For the full week, it's 75.
75, okay. I pay 75 gold.
The second that you pay up front, the quality of the service, it wasn't bad... shoots up to, and of course we offer you many of the room services, would you be interested in? And he proceeds to list off, would you like to try their cellar spa? They have a cellar spa.
I might try it later in the week, yes.
Can I have the cellar spa brought up to our room? I like this place. It's very in keeping with the tone of the adventures that I wish to have. You know, young lady, La Rochelle is French for the Rochelle.
I answer in French. Yes, I did understand that.
Boom.
Does Bertie speak French?
No,
but I'm thinking of adding mansplaining to his list of.
Oh, I say to Sasha in French, I didn't know you spoke French.
I speak gutter French. To the point that, like, neither of us actually really understand each other. Kind of the way that in Paris they flip sentences round. So
oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
freaking impossible to understand them, even if you actually have decent French.
Long story short, you have pretty much the top floor to yourself. There are two pairs of sort of connected rooms, so double bed in each, and then a connecting room, so you could head into each other's rooms if you wish, but there's a lock on it for both sides.
I've requested a child's cot for Brutor.
It's provided.
Good.
In fact, without you asking, they also provide, via silver service, a dog bowl and steak in a bowl for the dog, and they basically pimp out that crib for a dog.
Oh. Why have you gone so gangster? There's been at least...
Times are hard. Okay? Right, okay. Times are hard in my life, and right. I'm getting hard with it. So we'll skip ahead for the hour and presume that you headed straight back. Zolt, again.
I've started playing a game of Old Mage.
The jailer, as he does his rounds, doesn't help but notice and starts asking if you'd be willing to explain the rules before he leads you into the room.
No.
Fair enough. He leads you into it's a standard room, you know, table bolted to the floor, chair on one side, chair on the other side, and there is a sort of grated panel at the main door, but it appears to be a properly, you know, a consultation room. It doesn't appear to have any peepholes or anything obvious like that. There's no two-way mirrors or one-way mirrors. It's just a fairly featureless room. And when everyone rocks up, the jailer's happy to show you in. He obviously asks everyone to leave weapons at the door, but that's about it.
I don't carry weapons.
I've got the trident and I don't want them to take it away, so I will, and I can't really offer legal counsel, so I wait outside.
Oh, that's fine. Do you like a cup of tea?
Yeah, that would be lovely. Cheers.
All right, no worries. He heads off and makes Sasha a cup of tea. Cheers. Meanwhile, in the featureless room.
I didn't realise that butler was a rank in the police.
He's a very nice jailer.
He's just a kindly old man.
Kindly old man in the police force in a naval town. Okay, we can roll with that.
He's probably about 3 days from retirement.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh no, come on. We have to help the jailer survive the episode.
Well, just don't cause any trouble at all.
From the kitchen. An explosion.
You wonder why there's a kindly old gentleman. It turns out emotional blackmail's an amazing tool for police work.
Okay. Zolf, what do you want to do? We can just offer to buy the commission, but we could attempt to mount a legal defence. Me and Bertie have had a few words, and we think between the two of us we might be able to come up with something, but we'd need to know a bit more about what happened, and I know you're not always keen to share.
Similar enough. I joined a navy. Boat sank. I almost died. I didn't go back because I was in the middle of the sea.
Could we perhaps include elements of negligence when it comes to the boat sinking on the part of the people who are running the boat? Because it's my understanding, and I speak as a layperson, that the principal function of a boat is to enable people to maintain themselves above water. Therefore, if it has sunk, it has neglected its one principal function, to stay above water.
That's a very astute observation.
I thought so. Well, we have an effective agreement there, simple majority. Yes, we think that's a good idea.
Right, good. Motion passed.
So, I think the point is that, you know, if it's them that's at fault and not you, that can be a potential legal justification. Essentially, the commission is a contract, and if the break of the contract was on their part rather than yours, that is an effective defence against court-martial, right. I believe. I mean, we'll need to do some research as well, of course.
It depends if they've listed me as missing or killed, because I don't know what they consider.
That's a good point, yes.
So,
I would say you will have a memory that in order to sign up to the meritocratic forces when it came to the naval, you did have to sign effectively a liability waiver, which is, it's a military unit, things can go wrong.
I might do a die.
Yeah, basically, and you're not. It's not their fault as long as they do what they should do
and observe proper protocol
and stuff like that.
Yeah, honestly, I'm happy to buy the commission. It's just the delay in time. We've got stuff to do, but I don't think
it's only a week.
No, I know, What I'm saying is, I don't think anything that we do is going to help speed that up. So I'll just buy the commission. It wasn't like they didn't pay me very much.
How much is the commission?
How much is the commission, Alex?
You'd have to look it up, you don't know off the top of your head.
Rough ballpark?
You can always go to the commander and request the relevant paperwork to prepare your legal defence. You'd be entitled to that.
Ballpark, you'd be looking at a few grand.
A A few grand. Oh,
they're not fans of people buying their commission.
It might be. It might. Trouble is, it might wipe us out. If you mount the legal defence, it gets me off. Then great. Boat sunk in a storm.
Well, the next point to consider, of course, is what happened after the boat sank. Did you take reasonable measures to get back in touch with the Admiralty?
Sasha outside. I'll have to ask, where did you get that jacket? My granddaughter has been after something like that for ages. It is lovely.
Yeah, well, like, there's back in London.
Oh, right.
Right. And I did have just a plain leather jacket. But this one is a studded one. Oh. And you see the little sheen on it.
Oh,
that's because it's got some spells in, isn't it?
Oh, it's a bit out of my price range, that.
Well, you say that, but they're really handy. I'm sure that you could get one for effectiveness at, like, deals and stuff that actually, you know, you could then get discounts on stuff. It'd probably be useful.
Cut back to the interior.
Or were you prevented from doing so by external circumstances?
I mean, not. No. No, I wasn't. I signed up with another enterprise after I decided that Navy wasn't really for me and almost died. Also, they don't look too kindly in the meritocratic forces on worship of the old gods. So we could actually good grounds for religious discrimination.
Yes, unfortunately, they're allowed to do that. It's not illegal.
And in any case, discrimination is just another word for taste. Remark in character. Just to clarify.
If there was ever someone I wasn't going to accuse of any of the things that leaves Bertie's mouth, it's you, James.
I mean, not just in character, but of the time. Like,
yeah.
Religious discrimination is not a thing. Yeah. Like,
it was worth a shot.
So that might be tricky.
So this outfit that you took up with afterwards, could you give us some more information about it?
They were free traders of a.
Free traders with you know, jaunty hats, and
they were pirates.
Well, they're fun.
I mean,
sometimes
nice-ish bunch.
Cut back to the exterior. Honestly, it's just nice to talk to someone. You'd be surprised how few people are talkative over here. Mostly, I just tend to look after the cells and wash things.
Oh, like, it seems like a nice gig, though. Like,
oh, it's pretty cushy. I mean, if you were looking for work, I can't recommend the police force high enough. If you're not on the actual beat, it's quite nice.
Oh, that's cool. I'll think about it.
Okay. I can tell you're a good un. You know?
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
The
good to know
posted.
That I'm getting good at first impressions. It wasn't my strongest suit for a while.
The recruitment poster says, join the police. It's quite nice.
If you're not on the beat.
Cut back to the interior.
Well, of course...
You weren't kidnapped by them or held by them?
Because that is very common. It wouldn't surprise me at all if you'd been held to some extent hostage or prisoner. They, after all, are on a boat in the middle of the sea. And the sea is famously quite dangerous if you try and swim to shore from a ship directly.
I mean, if you were under duress, I mean, if you were...
Yeah, no, what? Does it matter?
Could you claim mental anguish? Were you mentally anguished into serving on the pirate ship? Because you look pretty anguished, Mr. Smith.
I don't, like, yeah, fine, yes, I was held against my will.
We can probably spin it. I think we can probably say he was kidnapped by pirates and forced to serve service.
Of course, is this the kind of man, does this look like the sort of dwarf that would voluntarily get involved in criminal enterprises on the high seas? I think not.
I mean, if anything we know about his recent history, it proves that he's a man who wants to do good. I mean, we were in the papers. That's got to work in our favour, don't you think?
Well, I know at least three excellent character witnesses who would stand up for his great good conduct recently.
We probably shouldn't put Sasha on the stand.
You are absolutely right.
I think we'll call a break there. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Test. Test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of the more bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented, but it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come to nothing. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless. Let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statements. The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quill, coming soon.
And welcome back.
I know at least two good character witnesses we could deploy at short notice.
Yeah, look, just whatever is helpful for the mission. And find out how much the commission might be, see if we can get
we'll go and contact the commander and ask for the relevant paperwork in order to prepare a legal case. I might send to London and get a book or two shipped down here to help us put something together. Mm-hmm. I mean, any books on naval procedures and precedents and law.
Excellent.
Cut to the exterior. At this point, the jailer has got effectively all of his kit out and has put it on the table, and he's just showing you all of the things he has.
All right, so what kind of weight does that truncheon have then?
Well, the thing is that actually I don't get a standard one anymore. I've not got the strength in me arms. So what they do is they have a second one. I mean, this one's mostly for show.
Are there any external cues for when I can tell that someone's carrying a lighter or...
Oh yeah, it's dead easy, honestly, right. Once you know how to look.
That's interesting.
Credit to the force, this man.
What I'd say in general is when it comes to the guardsmen's, is most of the strength is actually in the guardsmen.
Right.
And never assume that just because he's got the equipment that he knows what he's doing with it.
Right. Are there good tells about when someone's well-trained?
Oh yeah, for the most part, if they're well-trained, they're not on the police force, right. Am I right?
They just got a plant.
Cut back to the interior.
More of a vegetable.
Okay, so I think we've got a good plan. I mean, we'll come and visit every day. Do you need us to bring you anything? I mean,
don't worry about it. Like the cars at Sash. Thank you for that, by the way. The cars you brought. I'm just going to get very good at building houses. Don't worry about it. Don't bother visiting. Just concentrate on getting stuff done.
Okay.
Like, all I'm going to do is sit on my bum and just wait out.
Okay.
Very well. Well, we shall proceed in the direction of settling your legal proceedings and developing an appropriate strategy, and we shall be in touch presently.
Presumably.
Very official of you.
Official. Bertie, he's got some papers with him. He just shuffles them.
Business
kids? Business. Legal business, like a newsreader. Legal business.
But Bertie, all those pieces of paper are blank. I don't think the order matters.
We'll presume you bang on the door. The jailer puts his stuff back on.
I'm amazed he didn't just leave it there.
He left some of it there. Certainly he's not wearing his helmet or anything.
Like, of the things out there, if there are any keys spare, and I can palm them.
What I'd say is, genuinely, he leaves the entire rack of keys on the table, comes to the door, and then goes, sorry, could you help me out there? And literally holds out for you to pass him the keys.
Right,
you could do a sleight of hand to remove a key. There are about 14 big old keys on there, so the chance you wouldn't know what door you're getting.
I palm a random key.
Go for it. Give me a sleight of hand check.
17 plus 9.
We're giving a posed perception check. With zero modifiers, because he's just not that competent. Yeah, you palm one. I will allow you to pick between. There is a very, very large, well-polished one that's apparently getting a lot of use. Mm. There is a small, rusted one which appears to have very little use. Mm. And there is one which is effectively a very, very small one. It looks like it's probably for a locker or something similar. You can pick of those.
Only three.
No, there are more on, but of these three, you would be able to palm one without him noticing. Which one would you pick?
The rusty one.
Okay, he unlocks the door, doesn't notice a thing. Oh, thank you very much, opens the door. Hope everything was helpful. Is it all good? Are we all good?
Lovely. Room's a bit cold and the pillows could do with plumping up. But,
oh, sorry about that, I'll see what I can do.
All right, thank you.
We've got a spa in our place, don't want to rub it in.
Oh, lovely.
But I have rubbed it in, haven't I? It seems a shame.
Much like the masseuses will do for us later.
Yes. Or masseurs.
Honestly, Hamid, I am surprised. The I have to give you like a really hurt look.
I look genuinely abashed.
Oh. But he doesn't notice any of that.
Oh, well, no, as expected.
Yeah. The jailer opens the door and ushers you exactly with zero force towards you.
I'll see you guys later. Pick me up a free towel.
I'll look after the trident. Does it need any care taken of it? Polishing and stuff?
No. It's good. It's hard wearing, but thank you.
Right, I just need to keep it with me then.
Just don't lose it.
Right,
please.
Okay. That's cool.
So.
Quite large, probably won't.
Firstly, dealing with Zolf, you're led back to your cell.
Yep.
It's locked. As everyone departs, I will deal with everyone else. He then heads out, comes back, and sets up a brazier. He's not incompetent enough to put it within arm's reach of the bars,
okay,
but nonetheless it is warming it, and he passes you some fresh pillows from one of the other cells.
Thank you.
It's all right. Do you like anything to read? We've not got much. But
I've got cards, but that's... No, thank
oh,
you.
Don't be a faff. He reaches and passes you a romantic novel. It's very good.
all right. Yeah, sure.
He proceeds to head back out to the front. Meanwhile, dealing with everyone else, where do you head immediately after the prison?
As we turn a corner, Hamid, can I have your hand?
Yes.
I whisper into the ring, Barrett, I know you're listening. If you've got any dirty coppers in Dover, is a favour that we could ask. So just send a signal, can sort something out.
Drop
his hand.
We think we've got some... promising legal avenues to pursue. I'm actually going to go to the post office and send to London for a few books.
Yeah, the law is a great thing to rely on, right? Yeah.
Okay, yes! Cool.
The law is the thin blue line that separates order from chaos.
Sounds like a great idea, yeah. Mm.
So, what's the game plan?
I go to the post office.
Post office then?
Back to the Naval Academy, was it? Mm-hmm.
It was an academy.
Ask for copies of the relevant papers and asked what the price of the commission was.
And whether Zolf is missing in action or not?
What the exact legal status was and how long he was missing and then presumed dead and if he was ever officially declared legally dead by the Navy and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, dealing with it first with the post office, for a nominal fee, let's call it one silver, you are able to request via effectively a public service. They have legal documents available should you wish.
I would send to London for some books because I need to actually read some stuff on.
Sure, they're happy to effectively have them sent out once it's established that it's for a legal thing. It's all very easy.
I have lawyers in London.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The kind of person I am. So I send to them and ask them to send me the three most relevant books.
They say that they'll send it on the next train. You'll have it by tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You've run away from the Navy. User's guide.
I buy some whelks.
You do so.
And enjoy them. I add too much vinegar and not enough salt. And I say, food doesn't taste as good now Zolf's in prison.
Skipping to the academy, do you head into the commander's quarters where you were before, or do you just try one of the other buildings?
No, the officer's quarters.
Sure. Heading in. First one you see is old Gerald, still at the door. Well, hello, is there anything I can do?
Oh, no, cheers. I haven't even finished the food you gave me this morning, but... Oh, wait, did we want anything?
Well, I'd like to see Commander Barnes, if possible.
Oh, yes, he's in.
Cheers, Gerald.
Oh, that's fine, no, not a problem at all.
Nice seeing you again.
And you too. It was Sasha, wasn't it?
Yes.
Bertie's back at the hotel, by the way.
That's fine.
I think I've probably had enough fun with Gerald and the nearby police officer that my knowledge local kicks in. I now know where to get stuff. If you want any back alleyways.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
So Gerald leads you back into the smoking room you were in before and heads off to fetch Commander Barnes. We'll cut to Bertie at the hotel. And so, is there anything that I can get you? Is there anything that we can do? We are so happy for your custom.
Yeah, of course. No, you're right to be happy.
We are.
You know, that's coming across. I like that. I like you. What's your name?
Tobias.
Very French.
Yeah, extremely French. Lovely. Well, myself and my son here. Bertie decides he's going to have a bit of fun with Tobias holding up Brutor. My son here are thinking of taking the waters in the spa. If you could arrange for some towels to be put out, that would be excellent.
There's a moment's hesitation, at which point, of course, let me. And then he just rolls with it. Apparently, crazy wealth is a thing that has happened before now.
And of course, some of our luggage was waylaid on the train on the way over. You know how porters are. So, of course... my son here has lost almost all of his clothes, so I'm thinking, as we're at the seaside, maybe something, some sort of charming naval outfit, you know, with a little cap, if that's the sort of thing that could be arranged, if you happen to know any local tailors.
And we'll cut to Zolf.
Jennifer, no!
Gerald's... And we'll cut back to the name of the guy. Yeah, Gerald shows Commander Barnes in, and he steps in. Hello, sorry, I kept you waiting. What can I be doing for you?
Well, I was hoping to receive any of the relevant documents relating to Mr. Smith's case. I mean, I've taken on the case, and I'll be his legal representative at the court-martial next week.
All right, that's fine.
So I need to review the relevant documents. And also, I'd like to ask how much buying his commission would actually be, as I understand that's an option available to us, potentially.
Oh, certainly, if you'll both accompany me. Do you need anything to eat or drink, actually, before we set off?
My eyes narrow. They say nothing.
You know what? Barnes looks a little bit hurt. Not very hurt, just a little bit hurt by your disdain.
A lot of hurt looks in this episode, actually.
If you'll follow me, and he sort of leads you through a few corridors, you're clearly entering in one of the adjoining buildings and so on. You enter something a bit more clerical. Lots of more bookish people, still wearing uniforms, but, you know, hurrying back and forth with papers. He leads you into a quiet reading room and starts fetching out index cards. Again, I am very sorry about this. I can only say that there's nothing personal. You have to follow the letters, you know. There is a command structure and you have to obey it. And if you fly in the face of that, there are consequences. He's still getting papers and laying them out on the table for you. So it was the commission first, right?
Yes, please, Commander.
Now, due to the nature of his time of his sign-up, he's just consulting some paperwork. It will be around the 5,000 mark. I would say that they will probably lower that, given the fact that he was missing in action as opposed to just, running off. From what I understand, I haven't really looked into it, to be honest.
Of course.
But I would suspect that you would be looking around that as a figure. He's going through and has a folder. Yeah, I requested this to be sent yesterday. He is labelled as missing in action as opposed to willfully AWOL. Again, that'll count in his favour. Nonetheless, there are...
He was never declared presumed dead then?
No. He was not.
That's very interesting. I mean, my understanding is that his ship went down with all hands. Is the status of the rest of his crewmates also simply missing in action?
Not all of them.
How strange. Would it be possible to see some of the documentation of that wreck?
Certainly. He
any reports about what happened?
He hands you a manifest, and then there's a report of it. There is a report of basically unusual storm activity, leading to a unforeseen collision with effectively an outcropping of rock off the coast of Norway. There are accounts of at least 10 crew members who are confirmed dead, bodies washed up and so on. There are another 25 which are missing in action. It was a large ship. And then there are three that are still shown to be alive. Two are still in service, one is retired.
But none of them are marked as missing, presumed dead.
All of the ones who were marked missing in action rather than missing, presumed dead.
Yeah.
There is a minor
note. How long ago was the wreck?
It's been about 6 years since the wreck. The reason that there is a note attached to it, which is conflicting stories for surviving crew members, have led us to decide to keep the case open, registered as missing in action rather than presumed dead.
You can't fault their logic.
Cut to Bertie in the spa, sat next to Brutor, wearing a little sailor outfit.
Yep.
And you are, let's say you're both receiving pedicures.
Yep.
Are you going to spend any of this time training Brutor or just dressing him up?
I am training Brutor. Right. I'm training him to look adorable and receive pedicures.
So, give me a handle
check for
receiving a pedicure.
In all seriousness, this is more generally like, Brutor, are you capable of being like vaguely civilized in polite company?
That is what this check is, yes.
Yes,
it is.
So this is a handle. So this is me attempting to socialize Brutor with a handle animal check. And I think, given that we're getting pedicures and that I've poured him a small amount of the champagne I've ordered, I think that qualifies for pomp and pageantry.
I'll allow it.
He's in a naval outfit.
Yeah.
Do you get a situational
bonfire? It's a dress naval outfit. That's why it's pomp and pageantry. It's got little epaulettes. It is adorable.
What rank have you given him?
He admiral.
He keeps knocking the tricorn off.
Yeah. He looks like a young Winston Churchill. It's adorable. Havanel, 7 plus 1.
Do we get a conditional modifier for having a slightly drunk dog?
8 plus 8 is 16.
I will say that Brutor causes no fuss whatsoever. Nonetheless, there is the occasional thing where Brutor pulls his paw away and the pedicurist every time looks to you for the approving nod before recontinuing to groom your dog's nails.
In terms of long-term consequences for Brutor and his behaviour, can we now consider him appropriately socialised for at least a very basic level of polite company?
Yes, and I would also give him the condition spoiled.
Okay. Does that have any gameplay effects?
It might do. Right. Cut to Zolf in the prison.
Richard is not the right one for you at all. I can't believe it.
The jailer comes along and sits down and goes, it's good, innit?
Yes, genuinely surprised. Like, have you got any more?
He sort of gives you a knowing look, looks around, goes over, unlocks the cell door opposite you, lifts up the mattress, and there's about 40 romantic novels all laid out. They're all clearly part of the same series. And you notice that you're on volume one, and then he says, 16 through 27 are brilliant.
Wow, okay. It's Harrison Campbell. Are they still writing, or?
Oh, Harrison Campbell. Yeah, he's a local writer. He's good, isn't he?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to meet him.
Cut back to the interior. You've had access to all of the papers.
I'm going to copy the papers. Photocopiers don't exist, so I have to do it by hand. That's going to take me most of the afternoon.
You could do so magically, but yes.
No point.
It would require faff and finding stuff.
Get a demon to do it!
I'm going to throw daggers at a thing on a wall to aim. I think, you know, it makes sense of the whole levelling up thing. Just getting better at everything.
Sure.
Just stabbing things, throwing daggers.
Commander Barnes leads Sasha to a training yard. There's an interior one and there's an exterior one. The interior one's more like a gym. The exterior one is a yard. On the way, he looks to you, looks like he's going to start a conversation about 5 times, and every single time just backs off back to not saying anything and just walking along. Do you head to interior, exterior?
Exterior.
It's absolutely stormy.
It's fine.
And parts of it are flooded, but...
I want to practice throwing daggers in the rain.
Okay. He makes a point of standing and keeping an eye on you, and he looks like he's not saying things really loudly.
I throw daggers pointedly.
Yeah, it's really hard to throw unpointed daggers.
You'd be surprised. Quite a lot of the surface is not the point. The trick is getting the point in the wood.
We'll skip time ahead as everyone is occupied. We all say that evening comes on. Hamid finishes doing his copying, presumably head back to hotel.
I am going to go into town, buy a bottle of brandy, mm-hmm. and find a way to sneak it to Zolf.
Okay.
I think with this guy, it's ask.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll RP this. You rock up to the police station and you can see down the length of cells.
I'm wearing a completely different outfit. This one happens to have large concealed pockets.
The jailer is sat up against...
The brandy must be about the size of Hamid's head.
Don't mind me in my clown trousers.
It's not a very big bottle. Right. It would look weird if I bought a human-sized bottle. So, you know, it's like a hip flask size one.
The jailer has pulled a chair up next to Zolf's and they both appear to be reading quietly in each other's company. He sees you come over and goes, oh, sorry about that.
I'll put the book away.
Is everything okay, Zolf?
What
you need?
Fine.
I just wanted to talk to you privately for just a minute.
Oh, that's fine. Could I get you a cup of tea? Anything like that? Something stronger than ice coming in.
I'd
love a brandy.
I'll tell you what, I'll go get you one.
Oh, thank you.
would you like one there, sir?
No, thank you.
Excellent. He heads off.
Well, this seems rather redundant now. Pull out the bottle of brandy.
Oh! No, thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're being well taken care of.
I gotta say, I'm a bit weirded out by how nice he is. nicest jailer I've ever met.
That is a bit strange, I suppose. But, nice to know that not everything that happens to us is bad luck.
I think generally we've done all right. Really, you know, apart from a couple of snags.
I might come back to see you tomorrow afternoon. I've got a few questions about what happened when the boat sank. It turns out that there were a couple of survivors, but their statements on what happened don't agree. But probably best to talk about that tomorrow.
Who survived?
I give him the names.
So the survivors were a man named Jonah, a woman named Tiula, and Captain Samael.
I say that.
Are they still alive?
Yes, there's all three of them, according to the naval records.
Are they still serving?
No, the captain retired. The other two are still...
He's quite old.
Still have commissions.
Right. I didn't think anyone got out of that. Not relevant for now.
Talk about it tomorrow afternoon when you've had some time to think and... Relax. And
yeah, sure. Things. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you for the brandy. That's actually, means a lot.
Of course.
Jayla comes back with a brandy and a cup of tea, going, how did you do that?
I cast prestidigitation, send up a cloud of smoke and leave.
Okay.
And just as I'm leaving, whisper, magic.
You can't take the showman out of Hamid.
I probably have to make a stealth roll to get away with
this. Yeah, give me a stealth roll.
You're just still standing there. Oh no.
Natural 20.
Oh!
Plus 6.
Right, so Zolf has no idea what's going on.
So there's just a and then you just have the jailer stood there looking really confused, having a moment with Zolf.
And the whisper on the air of magic.
And we'll cut back to the academy. We'll say that you
throw the other hand,
We'll say bang. We'll accelerate time to the point where, you know, evening's coming in. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I pick up my daggers. Mm-hmm. I still think I got 14 of them. And head back to the hotel.
Sure. Vander Barnes escorts you out. Again, he doesn't...
Obviously, it takes quite a long time for me to pick up the daggers and arrange them around my person. I wouldn't show him where I was hiding them. I would just gather them all up in a big pile and look at him angrily. They'd stomp off.
So as you stomp
off... With a trident under my elbow. Just a massive haul of daggers.
So as you walk out as a walking armoury...
It sounds like my mum has packed for your trip.
Well, so you're not afraid... Sasha's not a very large woman as well, so this is a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Eventually you get to the front door, Gerald again opens it for you, and the commander steps forward and just goes, listen, I'm meaning no offence, but I feel like you may have fallen into some bad company, and I...
How dare he!
Yeah, because Sasha is the bad company.
And just, if there's anything that we can do to help you out, do let us know.
They're not bad people. I've fought with them, I've served next to them, we defeated a plant monster, and like and thieves and posh, like this posh woman that was dressed as a man and had magic, and I blew everything up. It was great. So, like, if Zolf hadn't been there, I'd have died when they'd blown me up.
Well.
Rattle as I shuffle the bags. Rattle.
You've got a bag of holding. You could do a wonderful Mary Poppins moment by putting the trident in it.
Oh, yes! Oh, my God!
That's actually a really good
I
idea.
I hadn't thought of that. She's just... And the thing is that she got given that, right? Yeah. Not necessarily sure what it is, but maybe, like, it's something where, like, she's putting the daggers in one by one, and the end of the trident goes in, and it kind of keeps going in to her surprise and everyone else's.
Well, oh, right, well nonetheless, done. We'll say that... Yeah, you head off from the academy, Barnes watches you leave, and doors are closed. And the last thing we'll have as we close for time is everyone apart from Zolf convening to a hotel room.
I buy us a lovely dinner and order myself a massage.
They.
I order myself an at-table massage.
So we'll close with all of you sat for dinner and oh Brutor my... sat in a high chair at the table.
What's that on his nails? Like, how does that happen?
The poshest I can do.
I just have to say, I'm imagining Bertie flat on one of those massage tables with the hole, just feeding himself.
Yeah. The he's persuaded one of the waiting staff to choo-choo-choo, here comes the for Brutor.
I thought you meant for yourself.
Oh, no, that would be... Well, you'd have to go under, then.
What? Here comes the ascent.
Yeah, it's swooping, like a swallow. Like, it kind of dives into the undercroft, and then to Bertie's face in the massage table, and then just disgorges its load of partially chewed worms. Oh, it's like a caring mummy worm. Mummy bird. Oh.
On the most vile image I've had since last week, probably. Yeah. We'll close there. That was a good one. That was fun. I just like locking player characters up. What can I say? I hope everyone tunes in next week for yet more, and we'll see you then.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Thinking about it, Bertie would be insufferable on Facebook.
Yeah.
The amount of selfies with Brutal.
Yeah. You can't, for the benefit of the tape.
How do you do duck face on the podcast?
You go.
Yeah.
And sets up a brazier, like, not a brazier, a brazier, sorry. I always get those mixed up.
Just a brazier. There you go.
Again.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought you might have needed some more support.
It's the whole thing of rations. You're just giving two melons.
Always get that right.
There is a Shoreditch themed restaurant which is doing that right now.
That's silly.
July way.
That sounds awful.
August way.
Yeah.
Captain Yarway. Just God, actually God.
You can't look at him directly. You're blinded. Captain.
It's very difficult to be under him.
Captain Morgan. Captain Crunch.
Captain Morgan.
Captain Birdseye.
Yes. Captain Birdseye.
No.
Has he Captain Birdseye? Surely.
Captain Birdseye vetoed.
No.
He's an admiral now.
Yes. He's been kicked upstairs.
Yes. If we're gonna do it, he'd be Birdseye or something.
Belle disease.
So.